Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles again to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7, and we're going to be looking tonight at that passage from verse 7 and into verse 8 of chapter 12. Now, this passage in the Bible is there to make us think. That's what the Bible so often does, doesn't it? It makes us think. And specifically, this passage really is here to make us think about the shortness of life. One moment, we're a little baby. But before too long, we're older and we're going grey. And we're not as young as we used to be. Life is short, isn't it? And this passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 to verse 8 of chapter 12, is there to really highlight that point. But it's not just to simply tell us that life is short. This passage is really telling us, if life is short, then how should you use the life you have? And so we've got four short points this evening, and the first one is this. You're only young once, so enjoy it. Is the life the Bible prescribes a boring one? Does the Bible say that if you're going to follow God, your life should be boring? Are Christians sour-faced miseries who scowl at anyone who seems to be having fun? Well, unfortunately, there are people like that in churches. But if they're like that, it's not because they're Christians that they're like that. Because the Bible tells us that actually this life isn't supposed to be a boring one. This life, the life that the Bible prescribes for us to live, is supposed to be an enjoyable one. Verse 7 of chapter 11. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. So you remember when you were a little kid, or a teenager, and those summer days where you weren't at school and you would go to the park with your mates and you would play football in the park all afternoon. Or you'd lie on the grass with the sun in your face. Or you'd climb a tree or do something along those lines. We look back at those days, don't we? And we look back with happy memories. Well, the Bible says they should be happy memories because it's good to enjoy life. It's good to enjoy the sun in your face. It's good to enjoy the life that God has given you. And Solomon here speaks especially to young people at this point. He says to them in effect, look, you're only young once. And so enjoy your youth. Look at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. So, follow your heart. Enjoy looking at beautiful things. Enjoy this world that God has given us to live in. And do it while you're young, because now is the time that you've got the energy to enjoy it. You haven't grown tired of life yet, so enjoy yourself while you can. Travel, see the world, experience new things. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. So does God want us to live boring lives? Does God say that life should be a chore? Well, no. The Bible tells us, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, that we're to rejoice in this life. That we're to use the energy that we have to enjoy the life that God has given us. So God isn't boring. He didn't make us to be boring misery guts who can't stand any kind of enjoyment in life. Doesn't say that it's, you know, good Christians have to be in bed by 10 p.m. on New Year's Eve. God has said life is to be enjoyed. He's given us the gift of life. He's given us the energy to enjoy life, especially to the young. You have energy and strength. Well, that's a gift from God. And he's given it to you so that you can enjoy this life. So you're only young once. Enjoy it. But our second point, we find that we're given a stiff dose of reality. All that we've just said is great. Life is great. Life can be a great thing, can't it? And we're to enjoy it while we can. But Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he now tells us why we're to enjoy it while we can. And the reason is because it won't last. Look at verse 8 of chapter 11. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. So remember, says the writer, dark days will come. And in this passage especially, which is speaking to young people specifically, the dark days which are spoken of are really highlighting the dark days of old age. The writer says in verse 8, there's going to be difficult days ahead. The energy and the strength of youth will be replaced by the weakness and tiredness of old age and eventually death. Actually, Solomon even speaks of this in greater detail in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 2 to 5. Solomon uses poetic language to speak about old age. Maybe as we were reading it earlier on, you were reading those words in front of you and you're thinking, what on earth is this going on about? Well, Ecclesiastes is a book of poetry. Solomon is using poetry to describe the trials and difficulties of old age. So chapter 12, verse 3, he says, in the days when the keepers of the house tremble. Solomon's likening the body to things that we can see all around us. So the keepers of the house trembling, our arms, as we grow older, will lose strength. Verse 3, and the strong men bow down. Our legs will, as we get older, not that I look at old people's legs terribly often, but apparently an old person's legs bow outwards. Our legs will bow and they'll grow weak. Verse 3 again, the grinders cease because they are few. It speaks of grinders, it's a way of speaking about teeth. Your teeth fall out as you get older. And eventually maybe you have to get false ones. And the windows grow dim. We begin to lose our eyesight. And then verse 4, chapter 12. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low. When one rises up at a sound of a bird and the daughters of music are brought low. Again, remember, Solomon's using poetic language. Essentially what he's saying is as you get old, you lose your hearing. He even speaks of the almond tree blossoming. But if you've ever seen an almond tree blossoming, it goes white. He's saying your hair goes grey as you get older. It's a difficult passage to understand, those verses in chapter 12. But that's essentially what Solomon's doing. He's writing a poem about the difficulties of old age. As we get older, our body gets weaker. The energy and the strength of youth will be replaced by the weakness and tiredness of old age. Until the point, verse 5, halfway through the verse, it says this: the grasshopper is a burden. There could be two translations to that verse. If you take it as the New King James has done, it says that the grasshopper is a burden. It means that as you get older, you get so weak at times that a grasshopper, which weighs nothing, would actually be so heavy that you could barely lift it anymore. I think a better translation is that the grasshopper drags itself along. It's likening the difficulties of an old age to a grasshopper. You think of a grasshopper, what do? They hop about, they bounce. They're never standing still. But Solomon paints for us the picture of a grasshopper who can't bounce anymore. He's just dragging himself along. A grasshopper with a walking stick or a Zimmer frame. And he's just going along, he can't bounce anymore. He's not a grasshopper, he's just a grass dragger, really. You see the point Solomon's making? If you're young and you've got energy and you've got strength, that's a great gift from God. And Solomon says, as we think about our first point again, use that strength while you can. Use that energy while you can. Enjoy life while you can. Because it won't last. One day, that strength, that energy, that vitality will be replaced by weakness and by tiredness as our bodies succumb to old age. And we don't have to look far to see that this is the reality, do we? I think of my nan. When I was a little boy, my nan was in her 60s. And she was very active. She used to walk around all over the place. She never caught the bus or anything like that. She would walk for miles. She was fitter than all of us. But now my nan's an 89-year-old woman. And she's so old and she's so frail, she can't look after herself anymore. All of that vitality, all of that energy that I saw in her, even as a 60-year-old woman, has now gone. This is the reality of life. And that's why, in chapter 11, verse 8, Solomon says at the end of verse 8, all that is coming is vanity. And actually, at the end of verse 10, he says again, for childhood and youth are vanity. What does that word mean? Well, vanity here literally is a breath. So you think you go out on a cold day, a cold night, even maybe tonight. And what happens as you step out the door? Well, the coldness hits you, and as you breathe, your breath turns to steam, doesn't it? And you breathe out that steam, but it's only there for a moment. It's just a vapor. It's there for a moment and then it's gone. Well, this word vanity that means breath or or vapor, well, this word carries with it a sense of frustration. And actually, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that throughout the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he uses that word to describe the frustration of life. And here he's saying, young people, you're young now, but everything that's to come, as your body succumbs to old age, everything to come is frustration. It's going to be frustrating. The strength that you have now, you'll no longer have. You won't be able to move as quickly as you could. The energy that you had that meant you could wake up early in the morning and keep on going throughout the day and keep on going until the early hours of the next morning, you won't have that energy anymore. It'll all be gone. And Solomon says, it's frustration. Everything to come will be frustration. Living in this world where we grow old and where we eventually die and these bodies get worse and worse and weaker, it's frustration. It's vanity. So going back to our first point. If you're young, or even if you're not young, if you've got energy, if you've got strength, it's a great gift from God. And therefore, Solomon tells us, enjoy it while you can. So we come to our third point. We've had a dose of reality. Well, now let's have a dose of eternal reality. Maybe someone listening to this thinks, okay, well, I'm only young once. The Bible says I can enjoy it. So, great. I can do exactly as I please. Maybe I can do all those things that this culture that I live in tells me that I should be doing to have fun. Sleep around. Drink too much. Enjoy anything and everything that this culture tells me to. Is that what we mean when we say, you're only young once, so enjoy it? Well, no, it's not. And if you think that way, then you're badly mistaken. And verse 9 of chapter 11 brings us back to earth with a bump. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. So if tomorrow you go to the supermarket and you go to Tesco's maybe, what do? You get a trolley or you get a basket if you don't need that much. And you go around the supermarket and you get all kinds of things and you put them in your trolley or you put them in your basket. Well, what do you have to do before you leave the store? You have to go through the checkout. You have to pay for what you've got. Well, Solomon says here, if you're young and you're using your energy, you're using your strength to enjoy life, well, remember, everything you do, you'll have to pay for. Every one of us will have to stand before God in judgment. He says, verse 9, walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. As you follow your heart, as you go through this life, God says it's fine to enjoy yourself. In fact, God welcomes you to enjoy yourself. He welcomes you to enjoy this life that He's given you as a gift. He welcomes you to use the strength and the energy that He's given you as a gift to enjoy life. But he says, remember that the way you use that strength, the way you use that energy, the way you live will be judged. You and I, friends, will stand before God one day. And we will answer for all that we have done. Every thought, every word, every action. Those done in secret, those done in public. One day you will stand before your Maker, and you'll stand before him in judgment. And just as you go to Tesco's, you have to go to the checkout and you have to pay for what you've got in your basket. So as you come before God, you'll have to pay for the way you've lived. So tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, what are you up to? Where are you going? Who are you going with? Whatever you're planning on tomorrow night, Solomon would have you to remember this. Remember it now, remember it then. Everything you do on New Year's Eve 2012, you will have to answer to God for. So we come to our fourth and our final point. Use what time and energy you have wisely. It's probably fair to say so far this hasn't been the most uplifting sermon, has it? If you're an older person here tonight, you might be a little bit put out by what's been said. Maybe you feel I've painted you all as sort of decrepit old codgers who can't really do anything. There are great things to getting old, aren't there? More wisdom, more knowledge, grandkids and all the joys that old age brings. But the point, the real point that Solomon is making in this passage is how quickly life passes us by. One minute we're young and full of life, and the next minute it seems we're going grey, we're not as energetic as we used to be, and it all seems to happen so quickly. And yes, there are great things to getting old. I'm sure there are. I mean, I'm not even 30 yet. Who am I to say that? But I'm sure there are some good things to getting old. But the reality is, as this passage has told us, it's frustrating. It's hard. And our bodies, which were created to be full of energy, full of vitality, full of strength, because of the ravages of old age, become weaker and frailer until eventually they give up altogether. And it all happens so quickly. Look at verse 8 of chapter 12. Solomon says this. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Remember that word vanity. What we said, it's literally a breath, it's a vapor. It's there for a moment and then it's gone. It's like the steam out of your kettle. It rises up to the ceiling. Before it even gets to the ceiling, it's disappeared. That word vanity actually is the same word as the name of the first man who ever died. His name was Abel. He was the son of Adam. And he was murdered by his brother Cain. His life was cut short. Well, that's the word here. This word vanity, which appears throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, it's the name, Abel. So it means that something's short-lived. It's there for a moment, then it's gone. If you've got an NIV in front of you, it says meaningless, but that doesn't really get across what this word means. A far better translation would be fleeting. Chapter 12, verse 8, we could say fleeting. Fleeting, says the preacher, everything is fleeting. This life and all the good things in this life, they're there for a moment, then they're gone. And therefore, Solomon says, with life being so short-lived, we're to use what little time we have and what little energy and what little strength we have wisely. So how are we to use it? Well, the most important thing that we can do as human beings is to know and serve the Lord. That's why we see in chapter 12, verse 1, those opening words. Remember now your Creator. Solomon's making the point, this is the most important thing. That you know your Creator. That you remember your Creator. That you serve your Creator. And Solomon's making the point that this is an urgent need. This isn't something that can wait. It's not something that we can wait for until we feel the time is right. Solomon says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. There's an urgency to what Solomon's saying here. He's speaking specifically to young people here. He's saying, you young people, don't wait. Don't wait to start serving the Lord. Don't wait to start knowing the Lord. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth while you're still young. There's an urgency to these words. Because, of course, eventually, if we don't, it will be too late. Chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. In those first five verses of chapter 12, Solomon's been writing this poetry about old age, as we said earlier on. But verses 6 and 7 of chapter 12, Solomon's using poetic language not of old age, but of death. Look what he says. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. There's an urgency in these words. Solomon's saying to you tonight, remember your Creator before it's too late. Remember your Creator before you die. And life is so, so short. So remember him now, is what Solomon's telling us. Use your energy to know him and to serve him. So to end with, let's just think about how that applies to us. Firstly, what if you're here tonight and you're a Christian? Well, if you're here tonight as a Christian, then it's fair to say God has given you a gift. He's given you the gift of energy, of strength, of vitality. And if you're young here this evening, then you've got that gift in a greater portion than other people. And so Solomon is encouraging you to use that gift in the best way possible. He's encouraging you to use that gift to serve your Creator. That's why he says, verse 1 of chapter 12, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. use that energy, use that strength to serve him. So are we? Are you? Let's think of an example. Two young girls, both 18 years old. Both have finished their A-levels. Both have been accepted into university. And it's June. And therefore, they've got about three and a half months of complete freedom. Well, the first girl, what does she spend that 3.5 months doing? Well, she spends her days pretty unproductively. She gets up late. She watches TV. She does a bit of shopping. The second girl, well, she sees, I've got 3.5 months. I've got free time. I'm young. I've got energy. Well, what can I do? And so she decides to get stuck into church life. She offers to help at the retired folks' lunch. She makes an effort to visit the sick and the elderly and the poor. She asks the leadership of the church if there's anything that she can do to serve the church. That second girl, she sees that with all this energy that she has, with this strength that she has, with this free time that she has, she can serve the Lord. So what one of those two young girls use their energy and their strength more effectively? And which one of those two young girls will have benefited most from that 3.5 months? But of course, this isn't a message just for young people, is it? Because even if you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s this evening, you still have energy, strength, some vitality maybe. And therefore, the Lord today is calling you to use that energy and that strength in the right way. Not to fritter it away on pointless things or on just serving yourself, but to use that energy, that vitality, that gift of God to serve him in this life before it's too late, before the days of trouble come, when you don't have the energy or the strength to serve him anymore. But what if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian? But what is this passage saying to you? Well, I think it's simply this. Remember what we said at the beginning. This passage really shows us how short life is, doesn't it? That's why at the end, Solomon says, as he's spoken about old age and then death, he says, vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. It's fleeting, it's short-lived, it runs past so quickly, it's there for a moment and then it's gone. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you need to understand this. You're not going to be here forever. Your life is short. You don't have masses of time. And therefore Solomon would say to you tonight, remember now your Creator before it's too late. When we're young, time seems to go so slowly, doesn't it? It's like if you're on a go-kart at the top of a hill. At the top of the hill, you get in the go-kart and you start moving. And it seems to be going so slowly, doesn't it? And, you know, you want the thing to go faster. You try and make it go faster, but it's going so slowly. But then as it goes down the hill, it picks up pace. And before you know it, you're doing a tremendous speed. And everything's rushing past you so quickly. Well, young people especially. Maybe at the minute you think time's dragging on. You think, I can't wait till I'm a teenager, or I can't wait till I'm in my 20s, or whatever it might be. But the older you get, the faster time seems to go. The more things seem to speed up. And it seems that everything's just flying past you. And before you know it, you're an old man or an old woman. And before you know it, you're dead. This life is so short. And therefore now is the time to remember your Creator. Now is the time to use your energy and your strength to know the Lord. But how can you know the Lord? We said earlier on that everything we do is going to be brought into judgment. And the sad truth is that all of us are sinners. All of us have offended God. And therefore, for each and every one of us, if we're to be brought into judgment, then we could stand no hope, could we? If God were to judge us by His holy standard, if He were to judge the life we had lived, we'd have no hope. And we'd have a certainty of hell. And yet, God is good. He's loving and He's kind. And in His love and in His kindness, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to pay the price of sin, to experience the punishment that sinners deserve, so that anyone who puts their trust in Him could be forgiven. He didn't stay dead. He rose again 3 days later. And He's alive today. And all over this world and all over this country, people are being changed by Jesus Christ. They're coming to know Him. They're beginning to have a personal relationship with Him when they come to Him and ask Him for the forgiveness of their sins. And my friend, tonight, if you don't know God yourself, if you don't have a relationship with God yourself, then the message of the Bible is that the Lord invites you to have a relationship with Him. He invites you to come and be forgiven for your sins. And if you come to Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then He'll receive you. And He'll come into your life and He'll change you. And you can begin to walk with Him, and you can begin to use that gift of life, that gift of energy and strength that He's given to you, to serve Him.